long dresses.
What, miss?
Magrat waved an arm expressively. All this!
Miss, said Sean from knee level.
Magrat looked down. What?
Please put the axe down.
Oh, sorry. Hodges Arg spent his nights in a little shed adjoining the mews. He, too, had received an invitation to the wedding, but it had been snatched from his hand and eaten, in mistake for one of his fingers, by Lady Jane, an ancient and evil-tempered gear falcon. So he'd gone through his usual nightly routine, bathing his wounds, and eating a meal of stale bread and ancient cheese, and going to bed early to bleed gently by candlelight over a copy of Beaks and Talons. He looked up at the sound from the mews, picked up the candlestick, and wandered out. An elf was looking at the birds. It had Lady Jane perched on its arm. Hodges Arg, like Mr. Brooks, didn't take much interest in events beyond his immediate passion. He was aware that there were a lot of visitors in the castle, and as far as he was concerned, anyone looking at the hawks was a fellow enthusiast.
"That's my best bird," he said proudly. "I've nearly got her trained. She's very good. I'm training her. She's very intelligent. She knows 11 words of command."
The elf nodded solemnly. Then it slipped the hood off the bird's head and nodded towards Hodges Arg.
"Kill,"
it commanded. Lady Jane's eyes glittered in the torchlight. Then she leapt and hit the elf full in the throat with two sets of talons and a beak.
"She does that with me, too," said Hodges Arg. "Sorry about that. She's very intelligent."
Diamanda was lying on the kitchen floor in a pool of blood. Magrat knelt beside her. "She's still alive, just." She grabbed the hem of her dress and tried to rip it. "Damn thing. Help me, Sean."
"Miss?"
"We need bandages. But, stop gawping." The skirt tore. A dozen lace roses unravelled. Sean had never been privy to what queens wore under their clothes, but even starting with certain observations concerning Millie Chillum and working his way up, he'd never considered metal underwear. Magrat thumped the breastplate. "Fairly good fit," she said, defying Sean to point out that in certain areas there was quite a lot of air between the metal and Magrat. "Not that a few tucks and a rivet here and there wouldn't help. Don't you think it looks good?"
"Oh, yes," said Sean. "Sheet iron is really you."
"You really think so?"
"Oh, yes," said Sean, inventing madly. "You've got the figure for it."
She sat and splinted his arm and fingers, working methodically, using strips of silk as bandages. Diamanda was less easy. Magrat cleaned and stitched and bandaged, while Sean sat and watched, trying to ignore the insistent hot ice pain from his arm. He kept repeating,
"They just laughed and stabbed her. She didn't even try to run away. It was like they were playing."
For some reason, Magrat shot a glance at Grebo, who had the decency to look embarrassed. "Pointy ears and hair you want to stroke," she said vaguely, "and they can fascinate you. And when they're happy, they make a pleasing noise."
"What?"
"Just thinking to myself," Magrat stood up. "Okay, I'll build up the fire and fetch a couple of crossbows and load them up for you. And you keep the door shut and let no one in, do you hear? And if I don't come back, try and go somewhere where there's people. Get up to the dwarfs at Copperhead or the trolls."
"What are you going to do?"
"I'm going to see what's happened to everyone." Magrat opened the sack she'd brought down from the armory. There was a helmet in it. It had wings on, and to Sean's mind was quite impractical. He knew this because the previous month's issue of Popular Armour had run a feature entitled "We Test the Top 20 Sub-$50 Helmets." It had also run a second feature called "Battle Axes, We Put the 10 Best Through Their Paces," and had advertised for half a dozen new testers. There were also a pair of mail gloves and a choice assortment of rusty weaponry.
"But there's probably more of those things out there."
"Better out there than in here."
"Can you fight?"
"Don't know. Never tried," said Magrat.
"But if we wait here, someone's bound to come."
"Yes, I'm afraid they will."
"What I mean is, you don't have to do this."
"Yes, I do. I'm getting married tomorrow. One way or the other."
"But,
Shut up." She's going to get killed, Sean thought. It's not enough to be able to pick up a sword. You have to know which end to poke into the enemy. I'm supposed to be on guard, and she's going to get killed.
But
she shot one of them in the eye, right through the keyhole. I couldn't have done that. I'd have said something like,
"Hands up,"
first. But they were in the way, and she just got them out of her way. She's still...